This is Radio Superior 1932, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1932. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1932. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is KUWS Radio, the voice from the head of the lakes, on Saturday, November the 5th, 1932. Good afternoon and welcome to the Martin and McKenna Show. I'm Jack McKenna. With Lou Martin, we'll bring you the latest news, weather, and rapid Ray Paulson sporting news, plus our Saturday night old songs of the Roaring Twenties music. Plus also, a special treat as the gents fighting over the sheriff's race sit down together in our studios. I can hardly wait for that. Now, Lou Martin with the Superior Water, Light, and Power 6 o'clock news. Good afternoon, Lou. I hope you ask Mr. Carlson and Mr. McGuire to check their guns at the door.
Well, Jack, I'll let you make that request. Good evening, listeners. Leading our news is the race for Douglas County Sheriff and the second election investigation in 2 years. A special investigator was appointed by Governor La Follette immediately after the primary election in September. Lawrence Ryan will look into alleged irregularities at several Superior election wards. With the latest on the story, we have KUWS reporter Mike Simonson.
Incumbent Sheriff Frank Carlson claims that there was, in his words, crooked voting going on during the primary at certain wards. District Attorney Claude Cooper says he will hold a John Doe investigation after the election, but Mr. Cooper says there's too little time to begin that now without possibly tainting the election. As you can imagine, that decision isn't sitting too well with Sheriff Carlson. Today he's accusing District Attorney Cooper of obstruction and trying to make him look ridiculous in his charges. The zigs and zags of this story continued today when Sheriff Carlson told us that he would appear before Judge Archibald McKay in Superior Court on Monday and ask for warrants for the arrests of 5 people in connection with voter fraud. He wouldn't tell us who he wants to have arrested or even specifically what kind of voter fraud he thinks is involved here, but he did say he will file challenges with City Clerk McKay in Wards 4 and 6 to monitor the vote there next Tuesday. So far, Sheriff Carlson hasn't specifically said his challengers, former Sheriff M.J. McGuire, Democrat William Murphy, and Communist candidate Harold Olmsted, are responsible for this alleged voter fraud. Secretary to the Governor Thomas Duncan told us by long-distance telephone line this afternoon that witnesses will be interviewed in this case and a John Doe hearing will be held if the evidence is strong enough. If you're confused about this whole thing, you're not alone, Lou.
Okay, KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson. Both candidates will be in tonight for a tit-for-tat and perhaps will make things clear for you, the listener. All of this has increased voter interest, and the city clerk, McKeag, says that more than 20,000 people have registered to vote in the city of Superior, 1,000 more than in any other election. The other race of great local interest is the one for United States Senate. It includes Fongelac Democrat F. Ryan Duffy and the Ashland Republican John Chappell. Both are political newcomers vying for the seat now held by U.S. Senator John Blaine. Appearing in Milwaukee yesterday at a Republican rally with former Governor Walter Kohler, Chappell outlined his plans for economic recovery. It includes building and completion of the St. Lawrence Seaway, aid for farmers and the unemployed, modification of the Volstead Act, presumably to legalize the sale of beer, and development of what he calls honest, moral, and religious values. Meanwhile, Mr. Duffy told supporters in Fort Atkinson that Mr. Chappell is fear-mongering by accusing the Democratic New Deal of encouraging the dismantling of our American system and opening the way for communists to take over, as has happened in Russia and has been seen in riots in London, Berlin, and Paris. Mr. Duffy calls the Red Menace scenario ridiculous. He accuses the Republican policies under President Hoover as being the biggest reason for the rise in communism around the United States. Duffy reiterated that he's against the teaching of communism or atheism in state universities. He did quote a speech from Mr. Chappell, delivered in 1927 in Sanborn, that's in Ashland County. In that address, Mr. Chappell had just returned from a tour of collectivism in the Soviet Union, and he praised it as a government of workers and farmers. Superior Water, Light, and Power Company news time is 5:06. Here's Jack McKenna with a word about tonight's sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. From among the hundreds of sales conducted yearly, there are a few which, because of their merit, recommend themselves to the public. This Universal Gas Range sale is one. It is a sale which offers exceptional values and presents you with an unusual opportunity to purchase a modern quality gas range at a remarkably low price. There is not one of our customers who demands as much in a gas range or exercises as much discrimination in its purchase as this company itself. There are certain fundamental qualities of beauty, efficiency, design, and durability which we demand in any appliance we sell. And Universal console ranges meet those requirements 100%. And now this special added attraction to be given away, an Oxford Universal range by Mrs. Loudon at one of the sessions of the Telegram Cooking School. And, of course, free with every Universal oven heat control range during this sale, a 173-page cookbook by the famous culinary expert George Rector. That's Superior Water, Light, and Power Company for the Universal Range, 1516 Tower Avenue.
World unrest continues as economic depression is causing rioting. A transit strike sympathizers in Berlin clashed with police as government tried to resume bus, streetcar, and subway service. Four people were killed in these incidents, and for yet another day, Berliners were forced to walk to work. In Japan, police broke a plot to assassinate several high office holders. The son of a Japanese nationalist leader was arrested for trying to set up Imperial Socialist Government, Hideso Tooma, and five others were arrested in a raid of Young Men's Independent Headquarters. Police found several bombs and guns that were stashed there. Meanwhile, the democratic process continues peacefully here at home. President Herbert Hoover spoke to a large crowd at the University of Wisconsin Fieldhouse today in the last election swing on his way home to Palo Alto, California. That's where he'll vote on Tuesday. Hoover accused the Democrats of making politics out of human misery. In New York's Madison Square Garden, it was a Frank and Al show one more time. Governor Franklin Roosevelt and the former Governor Al Smith accused President Hoover of running a campaign of fear. Governor Roosevelt defeated Mr. Smith in the August Democratic National Convention to lead the presidential ticket. Governor Smith says that Mr. Hoover's sudden penchant for speechmaking and campaigning after spending months saying that he was too busy to campaign is proof that he feels the ground is slipping from underneath him. Another blow to the incumbent came from the U.S. Senator from his own state in California. That's U.S. Senator Hiram Johnson. He told an audience in Chicago that the Hoover administration conducted itself as if big business had the right to exploit the rest of us. As promised, good listeners, we'll continue to bring you the bright spots from the business world. Dunn's Review writes today that the undercurrent of business revival is becoming stronger and is more than a mere seasonal gain. October clothing sales were up 34% from this time last year. The International Association of Garment Manufacturers reports that 1932 is a sight better than the 1931 sales. In fact, the Superior Evening Telegram newspaper offices are being deluged with telephone calls from women interested in the upcoming visit next week of the nationally known homemaking expert, Dorothy Ayers Loudon. Mrs. Loudon will speak on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the Palace Theater. Admission is free for all of her talks. Topics include amiability, the greatest graft, how to get the most out of life, and children and nature.
That last topic sounds like it could be a bombshell, Lou. And I wonder what she means about amiability, the greatest graft.
Roth Brothers Clothing Store will provide mannequins to model dresses, scarves, fur coats, and fur jackets.
Mannequins, eh? Too bad.
Don't you like mannequins?
Well, not next to the real thing, Lou. And they are a little stiff, too. Thanks, Lou. Let's jump into our forecasts for this Saturday evening, November the 5th, 1932. The United States Weather Bureau in downtown Duluth reports, and it's a dandy, friends. Warmer, cloudy, and a chance of rain tonight and tomorrow, and we need that. Look for a low tonight around 38 degrees and a high tomorrow at 50 to 55. Real nice for November at the head of the lakes, and we'll need that moisture in the ground when spring comes around, when the forest fires are here, too. Today's high was 44 and the low was 31 degrees. It hit 50 degrees in Bismarck and Boston. It was downright warm today with 74. Omaha had 56 for a high, and St. Paul was chilly, peaking at 34. Well, let's jump into our roaring 20s on this old wax recording Saturday night. Let's kick it off with Fats Waller on station KUWS, the voice from the head of the lakes. Fats Waller, that's I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter. Do you suppose he ever did? Friends, when you're traveling between Superior and Duluth, go the Arrowhead Bridgeway. It's modern, safe, and paved all the way. No stopping for trains with all overhead railroad crossings. The Arrowhead Bridge, the speedway to Duluth with no long waits for trains or boats. From Raleigh Street to Billings Park. And here's a word or two from our friends at Holden Tire and Battery Service. The Car Owners of America have once again voted Goodyear as the tire of 1932. Every year since 1916, Goodyear has carried the popularity of the country. And Colden Tire and Battery has a wide selection for your coupe, sedan, or Model T. Holden Tire at 12th and Ogden. Or ask your operator for Broad 395. Now more of songs from the last decade, those good songs of the roaring 20s with Ted Weems and his orchestra, You're the Cream in My Coffee. We've enjoyed the rollicking sounds of Ted Weems from 1928. And as promised, the two men who are making headlines in the Douglas County Sheriff's race, well, our intrepid newsman Lou Martin is going to referee this match, folks, to make sure it doesn't break out into a hockey game.
If we really wanted to keep the peace, we'd have Harriet Feurig moderate this. But yes, Jack, with me are two of the four candidates for Douglas County Sheriff. The incumbent, Frank Carlson, who is charging seven people with voting irregularities in the September primary.
And I'm going to tell the people out there that something's rotten, and I am going to get to the bottom of it.
Well, the only thing that's rotten is your campaign tactics.
That's Republican challenger J.M. McGuire, the former sheriff of Douglas County. Now, gentlemen, I must insist on a degree of decorum tonight so we can give each one of you a chance to get in your 2 cents worth, and then our listeners can make up their minds on who to cast a ballot for on Tuesday.
Hey, this debate's a sham. I'm disappointed and surprised at you, Mr. Martin, for not inviting me to this shindig.
And this is William Murphy, the Democratic candidate for sheriff. You're welcome to sit in. You never got back to us, so I thought that you weren't coming. And I should mention that the Communist Party candidate, Harold Olmsted, is also running, but he doesn't own a telephone.
You gotta let me catch my breath here, Lou. Running up three flights of stairs here to Old Main takes my breath away.
You know, that's perfect. This from a candidate who's running ads in the Telegram saying that the office of sheriff requires a young man Look at you. You're out of wind.
It doesn't look to me like he could run down bootleggers and moonshiners in this county.
I'm in good shape. It's just those darn stairs.
All right, let's get to the heart of this. Sheriff Carlson, you say that there were irregularities at two or three polling places in the September primary, and that 5 to 7 people should be arrested.
Now, I can't say too much on the radio airwaves, Lou. It's an active investigation. All I can say is I'm not going to let this drop. I'll fight to clean the dirty linen, and I'll do it in the public eye.
This is nothing more than a bunch of hooey from an overactive imagination, or someone who wants to keep the public from talking about the real problems of the current sheriff, like special favors for certain illegal gin joints and speakeasies. That's what we should be talking about.
Oh, is that so? How about you and your so-called bookkeeping while you were Sheriff McGuire? I should say, your total lack of keeping track of all that money raised from fines. Or were they fines? Maybe a few greenbacks to smooth the way for friends of the sheriff, eh?
You snake in the grass. I might not have personally kept books, but everything went directly to the county clerk's office for recording. No one has ever claimed any irregularity while I was in office. You check with the clerk's office. That'll tell the story.
Only the story you want them to tell. And what's all these names you're publishing in the Telegram as your supporters? Are they real people?
Here we go again. Lou, just because a list of my supporters include people with Scandinavian names like Svensson, Paulson, Johnson, and Anderson, old Carlson here has got this theory that I'm using fake names to get the important Scandinavian vote.
Is that so? Well, you two are something else.
I call it like I see it. I mean, who is Einar Erickson anyway? I don't see any Einar Erickson in the Douglas County phone book, McGuire.
Not everyone in the county has a phone. I'm not stooped to your level, sir. And why is it that federal prisoners are no longer taken to Superior, but the FBI agents are instructed to house them in Duluth? Answer the listeners that. They didn't have a problem when I was running the jail.
Maybe I didn't grease the same skids you did.
That's why we need a younger man in the sheriff's office, Mr. Martin. That's exactly why. I say throw the bums out, let's start anew. Vote William Murphy on Tuesday.
Just hope he doesn't have to go upstairs to get to his office.
Good one.
Boys, 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 you should be ashamed of yourselves, carrying on like this. I should say, this kind of politicking and fighting is an embarrassment to our fine community.
Thank you, Harriet, and maybe someday a woman will run for sheriff, and things will be a bit more civil then. Well, all right, gentlemen, you've heard Harriet. I think we'd best end it and leave it here, so the people can cast their ballot and let the American way choose the next sheriff.
I've got people watching some of those questionable wards, McGuire. Just a fair warning.
You just don't know when to keep quiet, do you? Harriet's right, folks. I hope to count on you to vote McGuire.
You'd better take it right now, Jack. We'll be running all night if you don't.
All right, my friend, that was a treat. Back to the sounds of the Roaring Twenties now with Fred Astaire putting on the Ritz on Station KUWS, the voice from the head of the lakes.
Have you seen the well-to-do on Lenox Avenue, on that famous thoroughfare, with their noses in the air, high hats and colored collars, white spats and $15, spending every dime for a wonderful time. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where Harlem glitters, putting on the ribbon, spangled gowns upon the bevy of high round from down the levee, all misfits. Putting on the ribbon. Well, that's where each and every Lulu Bell goes. Every Thursday evening with her swell bows. Rubbing elbows, come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 minutes. Putting on the ribbon.
Boys, look at that. You look at him, I can.
if you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where Harlem sits, putting on the Ritz. Spangled gowns upon the bevy of high browns from down the levee, all misfit, putting on that certain Ritz. That's where each and every Lulu Bell goes. Every Thursday evening with her swell folks, rub an elbow, come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last bit putting on the Ritz. Come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits putting on the Ritz.
The rip-roaring sound of Fred Astaire. And dancing, too. Do you hear that? Oh, nobody could dance like Fred. Good listeners. Good listeners. Let's check in with rip-roaring sporting news with our own Rapid Ray Paulson. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jack. Hey, man alive, I enjoyed that sheriff's debate.
It was a real doozy, wasn't it?
Nothing like a good old local election to get the fur flying. The fur flew this afternoon as the Cathedral Panthers nearly upset the Central Orphans in Superior football action at East High Field. The Panthers put every ounce they had into the contest and did pretty well to hold the purple and white to just 13 points, losing 13-0. This game officially closed the Superior High School football season. Central fullback Myers had a tough time passing and running the muddy football today. The game was knotted 0-0 at the half, but in the third quarter, outstanding Orphans ground gainer Sayan crossed the Irish goal line for the first score. Good games were also turned in by the Panthers' Darst, McGrath, and McIntyre, making up a fearsome line. The ancient athletic rivalry in the Bay Area, Ashland against Washburn, didn't disappoint fans today. Washburn only managed 4 first downs, but the scrappy play of Arsenault to Sanger kept the game close in a 25-yard pass and scamper into the end zone. With the game tied in the closing moments, Ashland's Thompson, Roshan, and Reichdahl ran up the field, getting the winning touchdown. Final score from Ashland, 12-6. Other scores from today had Denfeld topping Crosby Ironton 25-6 and Ironwood 26, Hibbing 0. Superior State Teachers Yellow Jackets thrashed the Duluth Teachers College 26-0 as Ted Werrett's 11 played to raise money for the Red Cross. And Northland College outgained the Eau Claire Teachers but lost 6-0 in Eau Claire. Well, Jack and sporting fans, the playing days of Harold Red Grange may be coming to a close, but he still has what it takes. Illinois' one-time galloping ghost was the whole show as the Chicago Bears bowled over the New York Giants in today's contest. The Redhead scored 3 of his team's touchdowns in the 28-8 victory. 2 of those scores were on passes from Molesworth and the other from Nagurski, and the third on a sweep. The National Professional League's championship prospective Green Bay's win over the Chicago Cardinals was the big game. So far, the Packers have 7 wins and just 1 tie mars their otherwise perfect record. The Portsmouth Spartans topped the Brooklyn Dodgers as Earl Dutch Clark scored a touchdown and kicked a field goal. Portsmouth stays in second place. But none of these games were as exciting as that sheriff's debate, Jack. Well, this is Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
And everyone loves Rapid Ray Paulson. Thank you, Ray. And I'm afraid that's it for our Roaring Twenties Saturday evening showcase, good listeners. It was entertaining, wasn't it? For Lou Martin, I'm Jack McKenna. We'll be back same time, same station, if the good Lord is willing, and that old creek doesn't rise again.
This is Radio Superior 1932, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1932 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530 or write us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1932. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.